chapter 9, verses 20 through 23. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. I preach to you on the assigned subject, infralapsarianism, the true position. Yeah. Now, all sovereign gracious in the audience today are either infralapsarian or supralapsarian. Whether you know what that means or not, whether you can spell it or pronounce it or not, you are one or the other. I dare say that everyone here today, every saved sovereign grace believer, is an infralapsarian. Now, all sovereign graces must believe one or the other of these positions, whether they understand the terminology or not. I hope I can make that at least partly clear. There is much confusion as to the meaning and usage of these terms. The only sermon I ever sent John Gilpin that he wouldn't print in the Examiner was on this subject. He thought it was a little out of place. I won't tell you what he wrote me about. All right. My major concern relative to this controversial subject is this. If one believes in the doctrines of grace and believes that God ordains men to hell for their sins, now, that man is an infralapsarian. I don't care what he calls himself. But if he doesn't want to call himself that, if he believes that salvation is by the sovereign grace of God and that God ordains men to hell for their sins, whatever he wants to call himself, I can live with that position. Still, I think it is an important matter that we understand what's involved in this controversy and take the proper position. Most men who call themselves supralapsarian do not follow that position consistently. And so I manage to live with them and ignore their, in my understanding, misuse of terminology. However, I do great battle with anyone who is, in my understanding of the term, a consistent supralapsarian. I vehemently oppose that position and stand very adamantly against anyone who would really hold to that position. Now, to understand the subject, we must have some understanding of election and reprobation, for that's what we're dealing with. Now, election, of course, is a precious doctrine of the Word of God. It is abundant, not redundant. It is abundant in the Word of God. Election is taught throughout the blessed book. It is a Baptist doctrine. It is so much a Baptist doctrine that for my part, I cannot recognize a person as a true Baptist who opposes the electing grace of our God. The doctrine of election is confirmed in the experience of a truly saved person. Everyone who has had a genuine experience of the saving grace of God, down on the inside, is aware of the fact that I didn't do it. God saved me, and that God did the choosing and the saving. As usually defined Election is God's sovereign and eternal choice of some from among fallen mankind to be the objects of His saving grace. Most of the definitions of election that I have read include in that definition God's choice of some from among fallen mankind. A supralapsarian will have to redefine the doctrine of election that he holds. You stay with me and you'll see what I'm getting at. Now, reprobation is a necessary consequence of election. No use in trying to say, I hold election, but I don't believe in reprobation. The man has not yet thought through his position who tries to hold to election and to deny reprobation. If there is a choice, some are left. And those who are left will not go to heaven. They're going to go to hell. And if there is a choice of some to salvation, then there must be a reprobation of the rest. It is a necessary consequence. Now, reprobation is properly and almost necessarily divided into two parts. There is first preterition or non-election. In God's choosing of some to be saved, He passed others by and left them in their fallen condition. That's preterition. That's non-election. Now, that is an act of the mere sovereignty of God. The only reason when He chooses some that He does not choose the others is the sovereign will of God. It is not because those whom He does not choose are worse than those whom He does choose. Often it is the reverse. But God's election, God's passing by, non-election, is an act of mere sovereignty. It does nothing to the non-elect. It leaves them as they were had there been no election. The second part of reprobation is that God foreordains those whom He passes by, those whom He does not elect to save, He ordains them to hell for their sins. And that is an act of strict justice. That is not an act of the mere sovereignty of God. The fact that He does not elect them to be saved is the sovereignty of God. The fact that He ordains them to hell is not a mere act of sovereignty. It is demanded by the justice of God. In His justice, there's no other course He could take. If He did not elect them to be saved, His holy character obligates Him to ordain them to hell for their sins. Now let's see if we can come to some understanding of infralapsarianism and supralapsarianism. These two terms relate to the order of the decrees of God relative to election and reprobation. Now, God's decrees include all things that shall ever take place. Before the world began, from eternity, God has foreordained everything that shall ever come to pass. Included in that is the election of some to salvation, the leaving of others in their sins, and ordaining them to hell for their sins. Now, this controversy with which I'm dealing relates to the order in the mind of God of those decrees. Lapse means fall. Infra means under or below. Supra means over or above. And the question involved, Does God's election and reprobation in the mind of God precede the decree to elect some and reprobate others, or does it follow that decree? According to the infralapsarian, God decreed from eternity that He would create man, that man would fall, and that out of fallen mankind He would choose some to be saved, leave others in their sins, and ordain them to hell for their sins. That's infralapsarianism. Superlapsarianism, order of the decrees is that God, first of all, in logic, in His mind, not in time, decreed that He would elect some and reprobate others. And that then He decreed He would create them and allow them to fall. Now try to keep that in mind as we look at it. This is not a chronological order. All sovereign gracers believe that the decrees of God are eternal. An infralapsarian does not believe that God elected men to be saved after they had fallen. An infralapsarian believes that God elected man from eternity, but that He considered him as fallen in His electing of that man. The superlapsarian and the infralapsarian believe that all the decrees of God are from everlasting. So it is not a chronological order. It is a logical order. Let me illustrate. We believe that repentance and faith logically follow regeneration. Logically, regeneration must be there for there to be repentance and faith, but chronologically they are the same. At the same moment of time, there is no time lapse between them.
Amen.
Repentance and faith. Logically, repentance precedes faith. A man must logically have repentance in order to have faith in Christ. But chronologically, they occur at the same moment of time. So what we're dealing with here, the real question, and the only question in this controversy is, how does God look at man in election and reprobation? Does God look at man as fallen, and then out of that fallen mankind He elects some to be saved, and He leaves the others in that condition and ordains them to hell for their sins? Or does God look at man as not yet fallen? Actually, consistent superlapsarianism, God looks at man as not even created or fallen. According to strict superlapsarianism, God decreed that He's going to have some people in heaven to His glory, some people in hell to His glory, and then, with that in mind, He decreed to create and allow to fall and to choose some, to save some and damn others. Now there's a question involved. I'm stating to you that infralapsarianism is the true position. That the truth of the matter is that when God chose some to be saved, passed others by, ordained them to hell, He looked on them, not that they had yet fallen, but He saw them in His mind as fallen, lost, undone dead. Infralapsarianism is the true position, because Bible election is an election of individuals whose names are written in the book of life. Superlapsarian election is election of mere possibilities who are not yet regarded as created individuals. And yet the Bible teaching is that men are elected individually, and their names are written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Bible election is out of the world of which others are left. I have chosen you out of the world. He saw them as a part of that world. He saw them in that lost and fallen condition. And He chose them out of that lost condition in this world, and He left others in that condition. Supralapsarianism does not allow one to even consider that in the mind of God, the world was not yet even conceived as in existence when God elected some and reprobated others. Bible election, and this is a strong point here, is unto salvation. The Bible said, God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation. Now, even God Himself cannot choose an unfallen being to salvation. If election is unto salvation, election must conceive of man as fallen and needing to be saved. God can't save an unlost person. A man must be lost for God to save. And for God to elect to save him, God must see him as a lost man. And a consistent supralapsarian cannot believe in election unto salvation except that God elects some and then elects them to be in heaven and in glory and then ordains that they'll be created and fall. But you can't elect. Now, the supralapsarians will sometimes try to use the election of angels to prove their position. But God never elected an angel to be saved. The non-elect angels are fallen and none of them will ever be saved. God elected some of the angels to remain holy and not to fall, but He never saved an angel. And He never elected an angel to salvation because He couldn't do it because they're not lost. They've never been lost. They've never been fallen. They could be elected to remain in their holy condition, but they couldn't be elected to salvation. Election to salvation demands the consideration of sin and man being a fallen and lost sinner. Now, furthermore, Bible election is so closely connected with Christ and His saving work. We are elected in Christ and in a Christ who is going to represent those who are in Him, and He's going to live for them and die for them and save them. And the connection of election with the person and work of Christ demands that men be considered as fallen in the mind of election. Supralapsarianism ignores the true place where God begins to deal with men differently. Supralapsarians kind of make God's distinction among men to be the beginning point of His dealing with men. But all men are created, and all men are fallen. And it is only at that point that we have God begin to deal with men differently and elect some and reprobate others. Now look at my text. We have here a lump, and it's the same lump. And the question is that a fallen lump or an unfallen lump? We all agree that this lump of mankind from which God chooses some to be vessels of everlasting glory and honor, and others leave them there to be vessels of wrath. But that's the same lump. Now, is that lump fallen mankind, or is it unfallen mankind? Well, beloved friends, the Bible declares there that there are vessels of mercy. Those whom He elects to be saved are vessels of mercy. Now, God can't show mercy to one who's not in the place where he needs mercy.
Amen.
Unfallen beings need no mercy. The mercy of God presupposes man being fallen and deserving hell. And God says, no, I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to save him by my mercy.
Amen.
But a vessel of mercy can only be made out of a lump of fallen mankind.
Amen.
The lost, the reprobate, are vessels of wrath. God's wrath presupposes man's sin. God's wrath is against sin. And God must look at man as a sinner in order for God's wrath to be upon that man. God's never been angry with a person who wasn't a sinner. God's never executed wrath and had a wrathful attitude toward a person who was not a sinner. God's wrath presupposes and demands that man be considered a sinner. God's wrath is the necessary consequence of the coming together of God's holiness and man's sin. And when they come together, God's wrath is the necessary expression of His holiness as it comes into contact with sin. And as God looks on man as a sinner, then God must either show mercy and save him or pass him by and show his wrath against that one. Now, most superlapsarians are inconsistent here. Most superlapsarians, and every one of you here who thinks you're a superlapsarian, you'll say that in election, God was superlapsarian, but every one of you will say that in sending men to hell for their, that God's an infralapsarian. That God sends men to hell for their sins. And if you're a strict superlapsarian, you can't say that. Because you've already said that in election and reprobation, God does not consider man a sinner. You see, that's the whole point. I heard a preacher who thought he was a superlapsarian, and I love him. He won't get mad at me. And he was preaching a sermon, and he said it's like this. Dan was there, and we kidded him about it. Said a lot of rotten apples coming down the conveyor belt, and God picked some and not others. That's the way it is. That's infralapsarianism. God looks on man as rotten and sinful and depraved, and He chooses some out of that and elects them to be saved, and He leads others in that and ordains them to hell for those sins. And to top it all off, God couldn't be superlapsarian if He wanted to. Because God is such a being that He always sees all things just as they really are. The knowledge of God embraces all things. And everything that ever shall be stands eternally present before the knowledge of God. And God could not conceive of man as unfallen, never fallen. God cannot look at man without seeing him as a fallen man, because that's the way it is. And God saw from eternity that man would be fallen. God could never look upon man as unfallen. That would be contrary to His eternal knowledge of all things. So God had to always see men as a result of that fall and look upon men in that way. Now, my dear friends, and furthermore, let me just add this, that most Baptists have always believed in infralapsarianism. Superlapsarianism is on the outskirts of those who believe in the sovereign grace of God. Now, listen to this. The glory of God's grace and justice are magnified by the infralapsarian position, while the superposition dims the glory of grace and tarnishes the glory of justice. Now let me explain. Election shines forth in all of its glory against the dark background of man's sin. What is it that makes election so glorious and grace so amazing? It's because God saw man as a sinner. God saw man lost. God saw man deserving to go to hell. And God said, I'm going to save some of them. And His grace is seen in the brightness of its glory against that dark background of a man's lost condition. And the glory of God's justice, the strict justice of reprobation, is seen against the dark background of man's sin. Suppose God was a supernatural. And He said, I'm going to create some men and send them to hell. And then in order to see that that's just, I'll let them fall in the sin. But I'm not considering. Without even looking at them as a sinner, I'm going to ordain them to hell. And brother, that's not just. And that's not right. It wouldn't be right for God to send a man to hell. Don't you argue with me. Don't you come around and say, God's sovereign. God can do anything He wants to. I agree with that, but He can't want to do some things. He can't want to do that which is unholy. And if God should send a man to hell without that man being a hell-deserving sinner, it would tarnish the throne of God forevermore. It would dim the luster of the holiness of God if God did not look on that man as a sinner deserving hell when He ordained him to hell for his sin. Strict, consistent, supernaturalism is a blot on the name and character of God and opens the door to many of the objections that men make to God's sovereignty in election and reprobation. It's hyper-Calvinism. It's hard-shellism. It opens the door to all this two-seedism. And all of the legitimate complaints that men make against the sovereignty of God in election reprobation, the door is open to that when a man takes a superlapsarian position and says that God chooses and ordains to hell without ever looking at man as a sinner. Now, beloved friends, you don't believe that. A few of our men, and I'm sad to say, do believe that position. But very few, most of them, will ride the superlapsarian horse through election and through preterition. And then they'll jump over on the infralapsarian horse and being ordained to hell. And they'll say, oh, God ordains men to hell for his sins. Even the great John Gill, who had a hard time making up his mind what he was. He would never ride that superlapsarian horse that he rode sometimes to put men in hell irrespective of their sins. Or God ordained them to hell. Not that they say He puts them there, but He ordained them to hell irrespective of sin. May we stand for the truth. God give us understanding of His Word. And understand again that my basic concern and the thing I'll fight for and live for and die for is that salvation is by the sovereign grace of our God. And that God ordained men to hell for their sins. I'll die fighting for that truth. May the Lord bless you. My earnest prayer. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Now, when you get down to...